from RunAsRadio.com, you're listening to Run As Radio, the weekly internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell and Greg Hughes. This is Carl Franklin introducing show number 25 with guest Trey Johnson, recorded Thursday, September 13th, 2007. Run As Radio is produced each week by Quap Productions, offering professional media and podcasting services online at pwop.com.
Hi, you're listening to Richard Campbell, and this is Run As Radio. And with me, as always, my co-host, Greg Hughes.
Hey, everybody.
Where are you, up in Seattle right now?
Yeah, actually, so on the day that we're recording this show, I actually came up to Seattle yesterday from Portland, hanging out with my old boss, and spent some time there. And then yesterday evening, went over for a geek dinner or a nerd dinner. Not even sure which one it is, because there was a bunch of both. But Scott Hanselman started his job this week.
Oh, right. Yeah, he's joined Microsoft.
Yeah, so he got his blue badge and he started. And went to the dinner over there with Scott and hung out with him for the rest of the evening. And then I got up this morning and recording the show.
Right. Hey, I got an email for you, and it's actually a panel request. The earlier show, we asked for ideas for the panels in Barcelona.
Right.
And I got a response from Jim Holmes, who says,
I want you to do your best bomber act here while you read this.
I can't do this justice, but he just says, virtualization, 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 virtualization. I think I get the point.
Yeah,
seriously, you've done some very informative shows around virtualization, and it's been immensely useful. I'd love to hear some real-world discussion on virtualizing things like SharePoint, SQL Server, and other heavy-lifting systems. It seems like there have been some pros and cons for those particular targets on your shows. Getting more feedback from panelists would be really helpful.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. You know, I think that I would divide SharePoint and SQL Server into two completely different kinds of systems in terms of heavy lifting. SQL Server virtualized, going to be tough. SharePoint, no problem.
Yeah, it's always an interesting debate, and I think this is where you get into a panel of, is SQL Server a product you should not virtualize?
Or if you do, then how do you do it? Because it can certainly be done. I know I've done it quite a bit, and successfully, but you do have to be careful about, you know, how you architect that virtualized infrastructure. I mean, you know, using virtual drives to run your databases on can be pretty
very rough. Yeah, you're really going to impair the behavior of SQL Server.
The application side of things, you may be able to get away with it depending on how you're running it. But
anyway, I think it's a great idea, Jim. And of course, Jim's talking about TechEd Barcelona IT Forum the week of November 12th.
Yep.
And we're going to be there the whole week.
Yeah.
And we're still working with the organizers to put together these panels. And high on my list is a panel on virtualization.
Well, it certainly is an often requested topic. And you know, it's interesting. Just, you know, 5 years ago when virtualization really started to build up as a big topic, you know, it became pretty clear that it was going to be, continue to be a growth area for several years. And that's certainly played out.
You bet. Absolutely. And if you've got some other ideas for panels you'd like to see or other shows you'd like to see, feel free to send us an email, info@runasradio.com.
Yeah. Ideas are always welcome. And, you know, I've been really impressed with the audience's, questions and ideas and thoughts that we get in email. And then we certainly want to keep those coming. So if you've sent email before, send some more. And if you haven't sent any, then especially, you know, fire up that email client and ship one off to us.
You bet. All right, Greg, let's introduce Trey Johnson. Trey Johnson is the Chief Business Intelligence Architect for Sizer, a Caliber company. He's been doing Microsoft Business Intelligence dating back to the earliest versions of SQL Server on OS2 Warp with Visual Basic 3 and Crystal Reports. Boy, that's a stretch to call that business intelligence. He speaks at code camps, national and international conferences, and was formerly a six-term member of the Professional Association of SQL Server, PASS, Board of Directors. He's also a hand-selected member of Microsoft's 20-person Business Intelligence Partner Advisory Council and a geek on Microsoft BI and technology. Welcome, Trey.
Hey, thanks so much.
Now, I remember back to the VB3 Crystal Reports days, and I didn't feel like I was doing anything intelligent back then.
There was a lot of build and break happening back then, that's for sure.
But, you know, I did work, I mean, you're talking about the early 90s, and that's when stuff like Arbor, Essbase, and Hyperion, that's their era, where business intelligence, that whole OLAP technology, was a $250,000 entry level product.
Right.
And up from there, I mean, it was an expensive hobby, but boy, it was powerful. I mean, that I look at the stories told in those early days. This is where Walmart came from. This is where hub and spoke airline travel came from. This is all about analyzing the data to get the most efficiency out of a business.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, the cost justifications were higher back then because of that initial, you know, cost of investment and the lack of really a skilled pool of technology people to deliver those types of things.
And, you know, the term data warehousing seems to have just faded away. We just talk about business intelligence now, really don't dig into the different layers of technology. But maybe I'm getting ahead of myself here. Maybe we should have set some foundation for the folks that are listening in the IT community really haven't thought much about how business intelligence works at an IT level.
Might even be worthwhile just to talk about what is business intelligence. And at least in my experience, I know there's been some disconnect in terms of, you know, like what a business person might be asking for when they come down and say, hey, I want you to start a BI project versus what the IT person thinks of when you use the same terminology.
Oh, sure. So business intelligence, you know, it certainly does have different organizational definitions, but the way I kind of simply think about it is consuming information from business processes that the organization's engaged in, and surfacing them in a way that people can make decisions about either refining, eliminating, choosing to combine business processes to basically introduce organizational efficiency, as well as just generally track the trends of the organization. In doing that, from an IT perspective, we're really talking about a couple of different things. One is certainly the platform side of things. So building that underlying platform that consists of a data warehouse, as a term, or a data mart, or even an operational data store, just basically a repository for the information from those business processes. And then there's multiple layers that can be applied on top of it. We can think of it in terms of maybe the business intelligence stack. And that stack tends to align fairly well with a lot of the other initiatives of the organization, such as portals for collaboration, generally the reporting architecture that they might do in a transactional way off systems tends to align fairly well with the tactical or operational reporting off of those databases and data repositories that are built. The more sophisticated analytics are probably the piece that less mature organizations don't really think about in terms of business intelligence as a whole, and that typically involves the OLAP technologies, the ability to consume large quantities of data and forecast trends, to analyze in a very ad hoc or unstructured way. And then that's a really key element for organizations, not only understanding what they do day in and day out, but also understanding what they did this year relative to the prior year, what they might be doing in the future, leveraging other technologies. And Microsoft really has an answer for all of that, and the combination of their SQL Server product set, SQL Server 2005, soon to be 2008, and the Microsoft Office platform, consisting of both the Office 2007 product set, such as MOS, Microsoft Office SharePoint Server, as well as the forthcoming product subset of the Office platform called Performance Point. And so the Performance Point technology, coupled with the Microsoft Office technology and the SQL Server platform, give a tremendous amount of insight to the organization. And then from a developer perspective, oftentimes there's a requirement to integrate within their custom applications, and that's where technologies like the technologies that Sizer offers work very well in that scenario.
I mean, one of the challenges of making a business intelligence solution work is that there is an awful lot of moving parts from the data store that you're deriving sources from, and there may be several of those, and you've got to have some kind of aggregation point typically. And I've thought Microsoft's had a pretty good solution in that area, but the client side has always been the weak part. Performance Point is new to me, but it seems to be the real focus by Microsoft on building better analytical tools.
One of the really interesting things, Richard, is, and you know, Microsoft's, you know, very quick to point this out, that Excel is the most prominent business intelligence client tool worldwide. And that's mostly because of some capability that's embedded within the Excel product itself, but also because most of the business intelligence vendors have a add-in of sorts that works within Excel.
Right.
Because most users, particularly financially minded users, are familiar with working in Excel, isn't it?
Well, nobody's ever been that far away from ledger paper, you know? It never seems to leave. And what is Excel other than digital ledger paper?
That is true. That is true. Well, you know, the Office 2007 product said, or Excel 2007 really does, you know, give some very interesting out-of-the-box capabilities, such as, you know, conditional formatting and highlighting of, you know, the top 10, the bottom 10. Really, really very interesting and compelling stuff that effectively is free, provided you're licensing Excel.
You know, business intelligence to me seems like a broad enough term that it doesn't really matter what you have on the back end. Everybody does this to some respect. There's almost no business I've ever encountered that didn't have some master spreadsheet somewhere that really manifests their intelligence about their business, regardless of where they got the data from. But in looking at the product line of business intelligence from Microsoft, it starts at SQL Server, but you know, that in itself is not necessarily a business intelligence product. It's when you get into analysis services and starting to drive those different data sources, I'm not sure where to go. There's so much to talk about. What do you focus on most of the time, Trey? And what does Sizer really do in all of this?
Sure. Well, so Sizer as a company is kind of defined in two different ways. So Sizer's origins were working with Microsoft as a joint development partner around the SQL Server 2000 reporting services. And we brought forward a product and tool set that basically enables ad hoc and self-service reporting on top of any OLEDB compliant relational data stores. And we basically do that in conjunction with reporting services as the rendering engine. Additionally, we have just rolled out a product called Sizer.net Analytics, basically in the same vein as our Sizer.net reporting. It's a thin client tool set that basically sits within the browser that supports not only those intranet business intelligence scenarios, but also extranet or internet scenarios. So that's kind of one half of our organization, and my role is I kind of support that, kind of defining a lot of our product direction. But the other side of our business is certainly on the solution side, where we're basically helping customers day in and day out, you know, figure out the right combination of the Microsoft technologies to not only exist in a homogeneous Microsoft environment, but also typically those heterogeneous environments where they've got Oracle, they've got DB2, they have a variety of other databases and data stores. And so a lot of our day in and day out focus is helping organizations understand how to craft BI solutions on top of the volumes of data that they have.
And I have to wonder if we're still in a state in the market where the correct way to build a serious business intelligence solution is to bring experts in. And from the point of view of the average business is only going to build one of these, so why should they develop that talent internally?
Well, you know, I think that there's a compelling motivation to at least bring some of those skill sets into your organization for the longer term, because the maintenance and sustenance side, you know, is something that's, it's a very real dilemma for organizations. And what I've seen in the past for organizations that have not made any investment in bringing people internally is they end up in a scenario where their leadership changes, you know, call it an IT director or a vice president, those sort of things. And all of a sudden it becomes redoing what they've already done in a new technology. You know, so an organization might move away from a DB2 data warehouse in favor of a SQL Server data warehouse, without realizing that there's some interim steps they could have done to invest and sustain that DB2 database infrastructure, but do rich OLAP cubes on top of it, for example. And so it is a bit of a dilemma for organizations. One of the things that Sizer does, and that's probably a little bit different than traditional consulting models, is we're very focused on that kind of that empowerment within the organization. We're rolling out a program called BI in a Box. And effectively, the program is a combination of the right Microsoft software and technologies, as well as some of the Sizer technologies I mentioned, plus the availability of distance learning on the entire Microsoft Business Intelligence stack, a community portal for the BI in a Box members, as well as a real-time available coaching staff to help the internal teams that are not necessarily deeply invested in an individual consultant helping them, but need, you know, that 2 hours of help, 4 hours of help, to get past a particular problem, be it ETL or OLAP design or even report development for that matter. But we really feel like that there's times of change have kind of come where there is a common tool set for people to work within. And once they're familiar with Visual Studio, they can really take full advantage of a lot of the Microsoft products that are around BI.
I think it's a great idea. Having done similar types of projects, there's knowledge which you can build, but wisdom is something that comes along with having done it many, many times. And so organizations like yours, quite often I've found, can really impart some valuable information. But from a technology standpoint, that's one thing. It seems to me there's one thing that you have to have before you can implement the technology, and that is you have to actually have something other than garbage to work with. What are some of the things that organizations need to be thinking about in terms of just the information they're going to be leveraging in order to do business intelligence well? Is that something that really needs to be thought about before you can start implementing technology?
I think it does, but I think that at least one of the areas that we tend to start quite often helping out BI efforts is, what are they doing today in terms of reporting and bring forward the information? And if an organization sees that there's multiple human kind of manual intervention points that happen before information can be presented to decision makers,
Yeah. That
typically is a fairly significant red flag, because it basically means that there's a lot of correction that's happening with the data to get from the point of the transactions occurring to the point of a decision being made. And so once we see those patterns, then it unfortunately is a little bit of brute force of trying to get in and understand, you know, what some of the anomalies are with the data. But once that is done, and provided, you know, people are working in a fairly methodical way, particularly, you know, following something like Ralph Kimball's methodology,
mm-hmm.
For building out data warehouses, they can make those investments, which, you know, seem initially fairly steep, but have a lot of longer term return, because they're going to reuse, you know, the various dimensions within their architecture. It's going to be easier to assemble, you know, these transactional groups called fact tables that basically allow them to support decision making and the building of additional BI solutions a bit more rapidly.
I got to think that this is really the key to being successful in the full bore sense of business intelligence, is really getting down to the instrumentation of the business. What is it we measure that tells us how successful or not successful we're being? What are the red flags for our business? And they're pretty specific to any given business.
Absolutely. There's a lot of specificity of metrics to organizations, because, you know, their business models are reasonably specific. But kind of abstracted and taken up a layer, you know, human resource type metrics are pretty standardized.
Right.
And, you know, financial metrics are reasonably standardized. It's more, you know, as it relates to kind of the operational day in and day out. For instance, you know, supply chain, they may be very interested, you know, in certain elements of how they fulfilled the order and the various workflow steps that occurred within them. There's another organization might not be as concerned with that.
There's got to be almost a political element to it. Where are we sensitive today? Where are people watching? If you're in a business that's had a serious supply chain failure where you were missing deliveries because certain vendors didn't come through for you, you're really sensitive to the way your supply chain behaves.
Well, and I think a big part of it, you know, for the organizations that are truly very successful with BI, is basically how they manage and measure the performance of their employees. Right? Because there's a lot of organizations that, you know, for lack of a better way to put it, tend to put a lot of their employees on autopilot and then try and explain their organization's behavior, you know, once or twice a year. And, you know, the tool set, you know, that Microsoft's providing, such as scorecards and the dashboards within Performance Point, that gives you that ability to have those kind of fine-grained scorecards that are down at the level of an individual employee's performance. And so as a manager, I can take action a lot more readily than trying to sift through, you know, the 38-page report that I get at the end of every month that tries to define what everybody did for the last month.
Yeah, I guess if you don't have an organized organization, you're going to have a tough time getting organization out of that data.
Absolutely. And you know, there's still a lot of relevance for what is typically called operational business intelligence, which is not much more than, you know, the reporting on the day-to-day or the dashboard for the day-to-day. But somewhere in the organization, for the organization to really fully take advantage of BI, there has to be the strategic decision-making. There has to be the strategic adherence to, you know, a plan that maybe goes beyond the current fiscal year and, you know, maybe looks at, you know, a 3-year plan or a 5-year plan and what are we trying to manage and improve over the course of that time.
That's more of a strategic analysis than a tactical analysis.
Absolutely. The data that you achieve in that process or acquire in that process can be used to serve both purposes, but it's a matter of having the experience and the maturity to kind of, in the organizations that are completely lacking from a strategic standpoint, to at least make that available as an option so that people, particularly in executive leadership, start thinking that way.
So if I'm the IT guy I don't know, the VP of support for my company or, you know, somebody from a higher level business standpoint comes down and says, I want to initiate a business intelligence project, and is using very general terms like that. What are the things that the IT people need to be thinking about? And what are the questions that they should be asking in order to make sure that you don't end up going down a path where, you know, there's no good way to return? What's that low hanging fruit? What's that critical stuff that the resource that's being asked to help out with this really needs to be thinking about?
Yeah, Greg, I would say that, you know, really the right place to start, you know, particularly when, and we are approached in that very general way that we want to make BI work for our company or we'd like to do a BI project. You know, the first question is, what are you looking to affect? And is it something you're looking to affect in the near term? Or is it something you're looking to affect as part of a larger strategy?
Okay.
And having basically that foundation, that really kind of sets the architectural wheels in motion as to whether or not you're really approaching things in more of a reporting fashion, or you're going to have to do things that are slightly more deep from an analytics perspective.
Yes, my experience has been is that if you don't address the process issues and make sure that you have some strong process to do your business intelligence technology, you know, to run it against, that you can end up spending a lot of money and not really get what you expected out of it.
Absolutely. And, you know, and that's why one of the key elements of this BI in a box offering that Pfizer is bringing about in our distance learning program is specifically a BI methodology course.
Right.
And essentially over the course of 5 days, we're walking people through not only the things that you do to engage the decision makers in having conversations about what they achieve, but also providing people with templates so that they can adequately capture the information, adhere in a rigorous way to an approach that we know has provided very satisfactory results time and again.
All right.
So you mentioned earlier that there's new stuff coming from Microsoft that you guys are working with that. I'm really kind of curious what it is that, you know, how do you view that? Maybe you can dive down a little bit in terms of what it really is and some of the details. And, you know, what does that really mean for the future?
Sure. So Microsoft, you know, has really established a very good foundation in terms of the SQL Server platform. And that by that platform, I mean integration services from an ETL standpoint, reporting services from a reporting standpoint, and analysis services from an OLAP Cube standpoint on top of the relational database engine as part of their product offering. And so what Microsoft has done over the course of the last couple of years is they've made significant investments in not only the Office system, Office 2007, but also in building up a very strong BI presentation layer or client layer on the Performance Point platform. And so today Microsoft has in market the Microsoft Office SharePoint Server, which is a portal environment.
Right.
That supports a lot of the diverse needs of an organization for collaboration and communication.
Right.
And added to that, they've put in some BI capabilities. So you can look at things like key performance indicators. You can integrate reporting services directly within SharePoint. And you can do some basic foundational business intelligence really without having to invest in anything additional.
Okay.
And then if your organization wants to do things that are more significant, like dashboards and scorecards, and even planning, which is really tied to the forecasting side of things, there's the Performance Point product. And Performance Point is, I believe, due to ship here in the next several weeks. And Performance Point is a product gives you not only the ability to kind of monitor the business from a scorecard perspective, see how the organization's performing, good or bad, versus goals and targets, but you also have the ability to do deeper analysis. And that's afforded in part because Microsoft, about a year and a half ago, acquired a company called ProClarity.
Right.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah. And so the ProClarity team has really been focused a lot on the if there's the analysis piece of performance points. And so there's rich analytic grids and analytic views that can be reports that sit within the dashboards. And it gives the user the very dynamic experience of saying, I'm looking at September of 2007, but I'd like to look actually at the last 6 months and do that in a very uninhibited way, in a way that doesn't require any involvement from IT, because IT has already built the foundation on analysis services as a product.
As I recall, ProClarity's strength was a client-side analysis tool. And it didn't surprise me that Microsoft bought it, because I always thought that was Microsoft's weakness. I mean, Excel is fine, but these real advanced analytical tools were far better products for that sort of thing. So it's interesting to see ProClarity surfacing in the Microsoft landscape 18 months later.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm still wrestling with exactly where Performance Point fits into this as opposed to Moss.
Well, and you know, so probably the piece to kind of glue it all together is Performance Point, the dashboards and the scorecards live within the Moss environment. So Moss is kind of the host, you know, the various web parts that Performance Point produces. And those web parts are then linked back into various dashboard views, report views, and support kind of part-to-part interactions. So if I'm familiar with SharePoint, if you're familiar with SharePoint, you might, you know, expect a selection of a year filter to then propagate through the rest of the parts on that page and, you know, change and dynamically refresh the data within various charts and grids and the scorecards themselves.
Mm-hmm. So is Performance Point, is it all new technology that's being released? Is this some repackaging, as you know, as happens from time to time, kind of giving things a new name? Is it a little bit of both, or what are we looking at here? It sounds like we're using, you know, SharePoint Server as the platform, and then this Performance Point package is something that can be used to build on top of that. But how much of it is new?
Yeah, it's predominantly new, or, you know, it rethought in a lot of ways. The scorecard piece is actually kind of like a version 2 or version 3, because Microsoft currently has in the market Microsoft Office 2007, Business Scorecard Manager 2005, or something like that.
Yeah, there was a business scorecard product.
Right.
That was really KPI focused. And I'm looking at the language on the Microsoft side around Performance Point and seeing a lot of that similar language. So to me, it sounds like they took that product and moved it up.
Yeah, they moved it up, and they made it just that more easy to deploy in. We're in the CTP4 phase of the Performance Point product. You know, and we already have about a half a dozen customers that are active with Performance Point that were customers that we had rolled out Business Scorecard Manager 2005 to, and they're tremendously satisfied because the user experience is better. The build and management experience is tremendously better. You can tell they learned a lot of lessons from Business Scorecard Manager 2005 and have implemented them quite well in the 2007 product.
And I noticed they've added the word server, and I've come to realize in Microsoft language, if it's a service, it's free. If it's a server, you have to buy it. So, absolutely. And the early scorecard products were giveaways. You just downloaded them off the website. I guess it's finally grown enough now that they want to charge for it.
Yeah, so V1 or V.5 was the Office Business Scorecard Accelerator.
Right.
And the next iteration was the Microsoft Office Business Scorecard Manager. And then now kind of the next generation is the Performance Point product that's inclusive of scorecarding. But the dashboard piece is probably even one of the more compelling elements, because I can leverage my investments in existing reporting services reports. I can bring other sizer objects in there as well. I can do quite a bit with the technology and provide, you know, really compelling, what I call morning paper interfaces for decision makers. So they can literally, you know, look at all kind of the top stories, if you will, and then choose which ones they need to explore further, as opposed to having to sift through a dozen emails that all have, you know, 30 to 50 page attachments on a daily basis.
All right, we're coming up to the end here. Any last thoughts?
Yeah, I think that the main thing is that, you know, as you look at Microsoft Business Intelligence, you know, there's, in Microsoft's continuing kind of infinite wisdom, there's no right or wrong way to deploy business intelligence using their technologies. So there's not a hardcore formula that says you must use this technology in order to affect positive decisions. There's a lot of choices. And that would certainly be something I'd want to reinforce.
Excellent. Trey, thanks for your time. I really appreciate this look into where business intelligence is going with Microsoft.
Yeah, thanks. It was very interesting.
Oh, absolutely. And if anybody wants to learn more about business intelligence, or particularly what Sizer has to offer, I'll have a whole series of links that are available on my blog, which is SQLServerBI.com.
Excellent.
Sounds great.
And we'll talk to you next week on Run As Radio.